Hey there, welcome to a post 4th of July Monday scramble. I'm with
Tuesday edition Monday scramble, yeah.
With GolfChannel.com's Rex Hoggard and Jay Coffin. I'm George Savarikas. Guys, kind of an odd week, obviously, on the PGA Tour schedule given what transpired at the Greenbrier. So we're going to shift our focus to the third major of the year, the Open, the 145th edition at Royal Troon. So let's get to our favorites to win the Open before you reveal your picks. Let's welcome in GolfChannel.com's Will Gray, who is kind enough to join us on the phone. And Will, since you're the one who's somewhat enjoying a vacay and then also working, we'll let you be first on the tee, your pick to win the Open.
It's hard to go against Dustin Johnson these days, right? He's winning everything in sight. You know, the odds makers out in Vegas have actually trimmed his odds from 12-1 to 9-1, so he's on even footing right now with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy. Make of that what you will. But listen, everything's working right now for DJ. It's crazy to look at the stats, and you know we always know that he hits it so long, and he's now leading the tour in proximity from 50 to 125 yards. So you know he's going to have wedge in his hands a ton of times if he's hitting it close as he has over the last two starts. He's going to be tough to beat. He says that he doesn't need to make any sort of changes to his game, taking it over to Troon. We've seen him contend well at the Open Championship before. I'll ride the hot hand.
Will, I obviously agree. I mean, I think it's got to be him. And we sat here a month ago doing this podcast with Ryan Burr that said Dustin Johnson was his favorite for the U.S. Open. And I called him crazy because at the time it was like, look, I get that. But until he wins
Burr
one.
Love on the,
no,
on
no.
The
but I told him at the time, look, until DJ wins one of these, he can't be considered a favorite. And then obviously he went out.
You
and
guys
won,
are so saying he's the favorite to win three in a row. You know how hard it is to win three?
Yeah.
Professional golf.
I don't know how hard it is, but it's
so hard that we saw Rory McIlroy do it 2 years ago, George.
Is Dustin Johnson Rory McIlroy?
He's better than Rory McIlroy
right
now.
Yeah.
So you're a guy who had never won two tournaments in a row. You're saying he's going to win three in a row.
Well, I think the beauty of this conversation is you could sit here and make an argument for five guys, four guys, whatever number we want to throw out there.
Five guys plug.
Yeah, five guys plug. six guys, whatever the case may be. I mean, you look at what Dustin has done, you should certainly think that, yeah, he would be the favorite. And I think it's hard not to wrap your mind around that. I was with Jordan Spieth on the 4th of July, and he was talking about playing last year at the Open, and he was paired with Dustin the first two rounds. And he said he was thinking to himself through two rounds, how can anybody beat this guy? I mean, he's so long. He's just pointed out his proximity to the hole is amazing. If he makes anything at all, I mean, he's already two strokes up on the field, it seems like, every time you tee up. And now he's to the point where he's got the confidence. He's got that major championship. He's on a roll. It is hard to win three weeks in a row, particularly when two of those are majors. But no one's done that since Tiger. I don't know if I'd put him in that category quite.
Well, 2 years ago.
Rory did it. But I don't know. It's so draining. I think if you're going to pick a favorite, I would go with Jason Day.
Yeah, no. I go with DJ because and go back to your point, too, is – it doesn't mean he's going to win. It doesn't mean I think he's going to win. He's the favorite to win. So if you played 10 of these, he'd be the guy that I would think could win more often than any of the other guys. All right. It doesn't mean that I think he's going to. But when you get back to putting, and I don't want to ignore Will, who's waiting patiently on the phone. But when you get back to putting, of all the majors, the Open is the one where lag putting is the most important.
Yeah.
But actually putting, you know, because the greens are a lot slower, they're not as fast. Where putting is not as important. We're making those 5-footers, 6-footers. You're still going to have to make them. But if you can lag putt from 30 feet, which he proved at the U.S. Open that he could do really well. So I think that that's big for him as well.
I'm going to go with Jordan Spieth. It seemed like he finally got his two-way miss corrected on Sunday at the WGC Bridgestone. And, well, we talked to him after the round. It seemed like he was brimming with positivity. He's actually getting to the Open early this time compared to last year when he won the John Deere Classic and then went straight to St. Andrews. He said he didn't get over the jet lag until Wednesday that week, that he and Michael were really struggling, and then, boom, you got to turn around and play an event. So he's flying on Friday, going to start taking a look at Royal Troon on Saturday, and it seems like with what we had seen with his golf swing, basically since Augusta, the issues he'd been fighting more or less look resolved on Sunday. That's a small sample size, but everything he said seems to be going in the right direction. What'd you make, Will, of Spieth's comments in Akron?
Yeah, I agree with you. He certainly seems to be brimming with confidence. I think it's going to help that he's taking the variable of, you know, cross-continent travel out of play, that everyone with the week off right now is going to be able to get in this weekend and use this weekend to get their bodies acclimated and get set to see see what Royal Troon has in store. You know, I was at Colonial when he won pretty convincingly with clearly not his best game. As he said, he still had the two-way miss going there. So, you know, he's shown the ability to play really well, as we saw at Augusta as well, without his A game. I think that, you know, just over what we've seen over the last 2 years, I fully expect Jordan Spieth to be on every major leaderboard come Sunday. I don't care if they're playing on the moon or if they're playing – you know, at Royal Troon, it just seems like whenever the stakes are raised and when it's an important event, he is able to key in, like we saw with Tiger, maybe not quite to that extent, but just when it's a big event, everyone wants to peak for those big events, and Jordan Spieth has an uncanny ability to do it, maybe more so than a lot of other players.
And, Will, don't rule out the moon as a 2025 U.S. Open venue. You never know where the USGA is going to head these days.
You say every major leaderboard, every major leaderboard for how long?
Until he stops right now. I mean, I can't go into a major thinking he's not going to contend right now. I got burned too many times trying to think that last year, and he kept proving me wrong. In this, you know, we were in this situation a year ago saying he can't handle it. He's making a mistake going to the deer. He's going to show up and not going to know which way is up. And he turns out he misses the playoff by a shot and really probably should have won that tournament with a couple holes to go.
And
so,
you
know, anything is possible there.
And to Jay's point, he had the four putt on the eighth that everyone forgets about, and that really was his undoing in the final round, a four-putt double bogey.
Bogey at 17.
Double on the eighth everyone forgets because of the putt that he missed on 17, whereas if he two putts, I mean, grand scheme of things, who knows.
Well, he one-putted 16 from, you know, the other side of five. Yeah. So it all evens out, you know, however you look at it.
But yeah, I was just bringing up the lag putting point, and a guy that we haven't even mentioned yet who won the Open 2 years ago is Rory McIlroy.
Oh, yeah.
Had the solo third. Yeah, ever heard of that guy? He had the solo third at the French. He won the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. Seemed like he was going to kind of turn the corner, and then he's at such a high level, and he has such an accomplished resume that when he peels off a third-place finish, it's like, he couldn't get it done on the weekend. What's wrong with Rory? He only finished solo third.
I did this story earlier this year when I was in Abu Dhabi, and I kind of was doing a poll, and at the time it was Jordan and Rory 1 and 2 in the world, and I was trying to come up with an idea of, okay, if they're both at their best, and Will, I'll ask you this, if they're both at their best, the idea is who would win. And then I was amazed how many people just threw Jason Day's name in there. That, well, if all of them are at their best, they felt like Jason was the best. Now you have to throw DJ's name in it. All right, so Will, if all four of those guys have their A games, who comes out on top? Are you sticking with DJ?
No, I've been a Rory apologist for 2 years on this question before we added DJ into the conversation, so I guess I can't really shift gears right now. I know that our local Jason Day enthusiast, Ryan Lavner, is probably fighting grizzly bears right now. But, he, you know, it's always the point-counterpoint that we get into. I still think that the ceiling is a little bit higher on Rory, and I'll take him in this battle. I will say I'm a little concerned with what he was saying post-round early in the week, Thursday, Friday. He seemed really involved with some minute swing thoughts and keys where he's got 6 or 7 things going on with his swing that he's trying to work out. This is not the time to be sitting on the range and trying to groove your motion. This needs to be a situation where, as we see with Dustin Johnson, he's just stepping up and hitting the ball and hitting it fewer times than anyone else. But all things being equal, I will still take Rory McIlroy's best against anyone else.
Rory McIlroy has turned into me. He's got 6 or 7 things floating around in his brain.
Six or seven? Come on.
He's standing
there. That's on the low side. That's the only time you and Rory are mentioning the same.
That's on the low side, my man.
Oh, man.
All right, guys. We're more or less halfway through the majors, even though the PGA Tour schedule is, what, 3/4 of the way wrapped up at this point? It's kind of hard to wrap your head around the
wraparound. Through the year. Not the season, but the year, all right?
So let's go with our player of the year on the PGA Tour. Rex, let's start with you.
I think if you voted right, I think if players had to vote right now, which is the way they do it, I think you would have to go with DJ, simply because the major goes a long way. You add a WGC to that. He's been consistent throughout the course of the season, so I would vote for DJ.
I think I would, too. I mean, the WGC, which is a big one, and a doozy, I think puts him over the edge. I do think that it's great that there's not that much time left in the actual season, but there's still so much up for grabs because it could be anybody.
So much
Spieth with a few holes remaining had the Masters within grasp. And he also ran away with the Hyundai at the beginning of the year. So if he jumps up and wins the Open in another week, I mean, we've got a legitimate discussion from now over the next couple of weeks.
Well, and Jason Day wins the PGA after the season he's had.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's right
going to be a fun.
I think
it's
Scott
DJ.
Two has 2 wins in his
I think right now it's DJ just because the U.S. Open and then backing it up.
Yeah, I agree, because Jason Day has 3 wins, leads the PGA Tour. So you can't really say his 3 wins take credence to two wins in a major. You'd have to go with the guy who has two wins in a major. Will, what say you?
Yeah, I think you get DJ by a nose. He just passed this week. He passed Patrick Reed for the most top 10 finishes on tour this season. So that just shows that his ability to contend on a consistent basis, even before the breakthrough win at Oakmont. But I agree with what Jay was saying, that there's so much big golf left. Someone, I think, is going to distance himself from the pack between the next two majors and the FedEx Cup playoff.
I hope they don't, but but you know, I think you might be right.
Well, I think that if you get one more win for Jason Day, even as a non-major, I think that that's going to be really tough. If you have four with the players in a WGC versus two with a WGC in a major, that's difficult for me. Then I'd probably lean more towards Day.
I feel like he's playing Texas Hold'em with this. I mean, the way he keeps going through these cards. Wait a minute. Two of a kind beats three, right?
Oh, I would agree that four wins could at least bring up
with
the
one on being the players. Absolutely, yeah. If you factor that in, but again, I think everyone is going to go back to the major.
And the really impressive thing, Will, with DJ's season before we let you go is the amount of top fives that he's really cranked out. That he's been playing at a high level for the majority of the season and has been a factor on so many leaderboards.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember I was at the Shell Houston Open. He finished third, and you wouldn't have even noticed it. Everyone's talking about Henrik Stenson, you know, losing it down the stretch and Jim Herman with a surprise win. But he has so many of those T3, T5, T8, where things were just a little bit off and weren't quite clicking. And now all of a sudden he's got the putter working. He's making putts when he needs to. Certainly the wedges are working well. It's funny listening to him on Sunday go through his round. People were asking, well, what'd you hit in on here? What'd you hit in here? Every single answer was sand wedge. And around Firestone, you're hitting sandwich into every green. That would sure make the game a lot easier.
Yeah, you could definitely say that. Well, what's on your agenda the next couple of days? I know you're working on something for golfchannel.com.
Yeah, we've got a profile coming up on Andrew Beef Johnston. I had the pleasure of going to dinner with him, despite the fact that you tried to steal my phone from the Firestone Media Center. Got me back. But, yeah, so I had dinner with Beef and some of his folks, and that was really great, just kind of getting to see him interact in the States. He certainly plays most of his golf in the European Tour, but he's come over for a WGC now and the U.S. Open, and people seem to like the beef.
Seems like the acme of foolishness, but what was on the beef's menu?
A 32-ounce bone-in tomahawk steak.
Like I said, the acme of foolishness.
The picture is phenomenal that will accompany
it.
That's right.
He got challenged by the waitress, who pointed out that her husband was able to finish it, so he took the challenge, and the before and after pic show that he made it work.
Beef doesn't take kindly to any smack talk like that.
No. His brother came up a little short, but Beef took it down, all 32 ounces.
Attaboy.
All right, looking forward to it, Will. Enjoy the time in Michigan.
All right, thanks, boys. Have a good one.
See you, bud.
All right, guys, so now that we've discussed the player of the year, what's the on-course story of the year so far?
I'm going to go back to Oakmont. I think what happened on Sunday, that's going to be the story. When we come up with our list of top 10 stories at the end of the year, as we always do, I think that's going to be in the top five. I mean, depending.
It's top five, but that's your strong number one. I got a
right
few
now,
others that would blow that out of the water.
No. Right now, I think it's still such a lightning rod. We've been talking about it now for 3 weeks. It has not gone away. It is still an issue. Dustin Johnson
Sunday
was
at Augusta?
Asked multiple. Yeah. Sunday at Augusta is going to be up there.
Blow that out of the water.
Well, and something tells me every other year it seems like the Ryder Cup's always going to be one or two, because whatever happens there always kind of factors in. But right now I would say what happened at Oakmont.
Yeah, I can agree with you that the number one story of the year may not have happened already. Actually, I hope it hasn't, because the candidates right now are terrific. So I want it to be something big and colossal or whatever, but to me it still speaks standing on that 12th tee.
100%.
It absolutely is. You talked about, we're 3 weeks after the U.S. Open. We're still talking about that. Well, 3 months after the Masters, and we're still talking about that.
Sure.
You know, we are
still in the field questions.
He will until he wins another major. You know, sadly, I mean, is he over? Of course he's over. I mean, he's been playing good enough, but until he wins another major, and then if he wins the Open, he'll still be asked about it next year at the Masters. Again, you know, every time he stands on that tee for the next 40 years of his life, he's going to think about that shot or have to fight not to think about that shot.
Yeah, he'll have to withhold.
So I think it's a big one, but to me, those are hands down one and two.
Yeah, I would say you got to go with Spieth. Just for how stunning and unraveling it was, and then the visual, especially the images that we just saw of him having his head in his hands and having a quad is just so shocking.
Yeah.
for that high-level player in that moment?
I don't think so, because I'll go the other way.
You don't think it's surprising?
Well, no, it's a stunning story, and it's 1 and 2. We're just splitting hairs now, in my opinion. But Oakmont, from a writer's perspective, sitting down trying to write Dustin Johnson after so many near misses and after as many ways as he had found to lose a major championship, with the idea that there was a stroke penalty, maybe not hanging over his head.
I'm not buying it.
And then to win it by multiple strokes and just the feedback and to do it on that golf course, I just think that the elements of the story are much better with Oakmont than they are with Augusta.
All right. We'll have to agree.
It's funny about the Spieth thing, too. My buddies, even to this day, you know, I came back and I go, man, it must have been great. You know, you were up there covering it. And it must have been, I mean, what were you thinking when you were out there watching? And I go, well, he was up by 5 shots at the turn. I wasn't out there watching.
I was writing. I was writing the story.
This thing was over. I was inside eating free ice cream, figuring out how we're going to capture this and talk about how big of a moment it is to go back-to-back. So I wasn't anywhere near that.
All right, let's go to off-course story of the year, Jeff.
It has to be sort of all the people bailing on the Olympics, I think.
Tread lightly?
I just think it has to be. We're not there yet, and you know, you've talked about it. They're going to hand out a gold, they're going to hand out a silver, and they're going to hand out a bronze. And I hope like hell that there are three pretty big names and that it ends up, everything ends up being big. But until we get there, sadly, too much focus is on who is not there.
The problem is if that turns into 2 pages. I mean, right now we've got it in small type on 1 page.
We've got to apply the tourniquet soon.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you don't want it to start spreading into 2 pages because then you really become concerned about it. But, yeah, I think Jay's right. This goes all the way back for me before May when, you know, players were talking about going in the Olympic drug testing pool and what they expected down in Rio and the golf course and everything they went through getting the golf course built and obviously everything that's going on in Rio right now. And then you have the big names who are withdrawing at an alarming rate. So, yeah, I mean, for all the wrong reasons, it's the story of the year.
And USA Golf just had the meeting last week. Yeah. I'd say the big linchpin, especially for the average American fan, like viewers like my mom who tune in the Olympics every 4 years, aren't necessarily huge golf fans, but will watch golf because it's part of the Olympics, is Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler. Those two guys who haven't 100% committed, if we have all four of the top Americans go and they're a factor whatsoever, that will draw interest from the American viewer.
And I spoke to one player who was in that meeting last week, and I think that they went a long way to alleviate their fears.
But Jordan is still very much
still on the fence, sure.
But the good thing is, Ricky seems to be trending towards going, but he's still undecided.
The good thing is, and I don't know this for a fact, but you know, I mean, the Olympic team are set on July 11th, so that's in less than a week. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't bail afterwards.
Yeah.
But once that thing is final, once the rankings kind of come out, and it's right there. It's not set in stone, but it's set in pretty strong pen. And if you're on that team by then,
it's hard to bail
after that, I think. So, you know, if any of these guys can hold on for another 6 or 7 days, I think by that point you're on that team. You've got to let it fly.
I will say this. I think Jordan's closer to playing than maybe you would think. I actually think Ricky's probably 50-50.
Talking to Jordan, I did not get that impression.
Well, whatsoever. And again, when I spoke to him on Monday in Austin, he was still not committed, but I think he's getting
positivity.
Yeah, so I think the idea of going down now, and like I said, that meeting with USA Golf sort of alleviated a lot of the fears that they have, and they still have some questions.
Yeah, they're having a follow-up meeting, if you will, this week. So, guys, a certain name that we haven't mentioned, and golf got its blessing to return to the Olympics back in 2009 when Tiger was still at his zenith.
Yeah.
We haven't even brought up Tiger Woods yet. What type of story has he been, or non-story, this year?
Oh, for the year you're talking about? Because for the week, I don't know that he's in my top 10 for the week. But for the year,
not a lot going on this week.
You know what? It would be a top story for me just because I did not expect it to come to this. I did not. I mean, we heard, you know, Ryan Burr, I think, sat there in January and said, well, he's not playing this year. And I thought, Ryan's insane. Like, you can't
say Burr more? I mean, do we got to keep stroking his
ego?
Well,
no, I mean, normally he just says stuff to say stuff, I think. But I was like, oh, you're insane. There's no way he's going to miss an entire year. And, you know, you talk to doctors, you look at when he had the surgery, you look at the recovery process. I talked to people who went through it. I mean, Jason Bone went through it. There was no way he was going to miss the entire year. Now, I can't imagine a way that he comes back. Like,
there's
schedule-wise,
why would he play?
Why would he come back just to play the PGA at Baltusrol, of all places? I mean, I love Baltusrol, but it's going to be a hard walk. It's going to be hot.
And seeing him walking at the Quicken Loans into that press conference, which I was at, it doesn't look like a guy who's 100%. I mean, he says all the positive things and that he's on the right track, but just seeing him move, as a human being, if you would, he doesn't look like a guy who's ready to play.
If you would have told me the next time we see Tiger Woods on a golf course would be driving a golf cart at the Ryder Cup as a vice captain, I'd have, you know.
We thought that was insane when it was announced last. Yeah, wasn't it last fall?
That's why, and that's why it is intriguing, and it would probably be number two on the list. In everything. Well, on the off course,
okay,
items of the year. Yeah, I mean, I still think it's the Olympics.
Are we gonna break it down that way this year.
Well, it's an issue. Oh, good God! What do you? I mean, are we
just want to person wrap my mind around that? Like, are we gonna have two lists now on course and off course?
Just pay back for all the time I pick over all of your copy when you turn all these stories to me.
Exactly.
Now you're fussing over every word. Is that? You know, it was several months ago. We keep hearing the progressing nicely. Well, there's nothing progressing nicely about anything that, when you hear this 3 months ago, progressing nicely, that makes you think, well, okay.
And I asked him for a percentage, at some point. And he wouldn't give a percentage.
Yeah,
it's
so
just
it's
progressing
all,
nicely. So it's all, yeah, hard to gauge what that is.
Progressing nicely isn't. It doesn't,
you always look into
it doesn't
the,
look like what he looks like.
You always try to look into the looking glass and try to figure out what's really, you know, because he's not an open, honest person. Or, you know, he's not very open with what's going on in the inner circle. I don't know if you knew that. But when it comes
to BT Dubs.
Yeah, yeah. But when you try to look into the looking glass, you can't see any time frame that he's coming back.
Which I think is, grand scheme of things, good. Because he would always set these finite periods and try and rush back. And if we're ever going to see a somewhat healthy and competitive Tiger, he can't set a timetable. It's
you can't,
just got to happen on his own terms.
I think the idea of another back procedure is probably
he knows he can't do that again. It's basically a game ender.
Yep. No, I'd agree with that.
So overall, he's finally taking a healthy approach to getting healthy instead of this overzealous, overly competitive, which you understand it's what drove him to win 14 majors. But to get yourself healthy, it's not a game that you can win or find a cheat to.
Yes.
It's got to happen naturally.
Yep. And on a year where Kobe did what he did when he stepped down and did what he did in that last game. And, you know, you have these great athletes who stepped
some
down.
Some great defense the Jazz were playing that last game.
It wasn't a shot he wasn't willing to throw up in that last game. But, I mean, I've still had it in my mind that he had one more run in him. And I've always felt like, but would he win another major? Not sure about that. But I felt like he could win again on the PGA Tour. I don't know if I feel that way sitting here today.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I always thought people were nuts that, yeah, Tiger's going to win again. It's Tiger Woods. Once he gets healthy, it's going to happen. Now, it's hard to say with any conviction that, yes, 100%, he's going to go from 79 to 80.
Just throwing years on a calendar away. I mean, just throwing years away at this stage in his life. You just all of a sudden don't get well enough to string off a bunch of wins like we know he used to.
Well, and we saw him do things that were impossible. I think that's why, you know, if you watched him throughout the course of his career, you're going to lean towards the idea that, no, he'll recover from this and come back and win and maybe contend in the major. And now you start seeing the reality of the situation where he's getting up slowly and he's barely moving around. That's concerning.
You know what Tiger gets to do the rest of the season?
Watch golf.
Likely watch the Open and the PGA Championship and the Ryder Cup. So what are you most looking forward to on this upcoming schedule?
Well, I love the Open. It's my favorite tournament of the year. I love going over there.
Johnny Corporate over here now that it's on all the NBC
it was.
Golf
Ask
channel.
Him. Ask him. We've gone over since 2009 every year. He's been over plenty before that. I just love that week. But I think story-wise, I do think it is the Ryder Cup because, no, you know, we always root for the story.
Going at it?
I think it's the Ryder Cup.
It always is.
Maybe globally, maybe it's the Olympics and whatever happens there, but I'm telling you the Ryder Cup because no matter what happens there, it's a huge story. No, so if the U.S. runs away with it, then, they fixed it. If they lose again, then what? No matter what happens that week, it's a big deal, and I love going to events where that's the case. You know you're going to have plenty to write about.
And I'll go Johnny Corporate even more. I would actually say the Olympics, and here's why. I've always contended that in my entire time in the game, we've always come up with these Grow the Game initiatives, and I've never really felt like I've seen any of them go to fruition, where they actually paid off and you saw the game growing on the other side. I think outside of the golf developed nations, outside of the United States and Australia and the UK and South Africa, if we end up with a kid from Paraguay winning a bronze medal, it could be huge for golf in Paraguay. So I think the potential of what the Olympics could do to golf, to grow the game as far as the story goes, is huge. Now, that still has to come play out. I mean, we could end up with the Americans sweeping the medals, and that's not going to be the scenario I'm talking about. But I think the potential is there to have a huge impact on golf globally.
I think the litmus test, which is a different confluence of events, was basketball in the Dream Team in 1992 in Barcelona. In 92 with Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, the impact that they had then, if you look at the NBA now 24 years later, where you have a lot of international players who are in their 20s and early 30s who started playing, and a lot of it was they got to see these guys play in the Olympics. Obviously, Michael Jordan was a global brand to begin with, but I think that you could do a direct corollary to that at least having some type of impact. Not that in 2040, necessarily the PGA Tour is going to be 50% international players, but I think a testament to what you're saying that, yeah, maybe there could be a kid in Paraguay or some other country where there's only 10 to 20 golf courses now that could find some interest.
And look how competitive the Olympic Games are now. I mean, there was a lot of NBA players that have decided not to play the Olympics as well. They don't fit on a sheet on the screen, so they actually have more players who have withdrawn. But all of a sudden we start talking about, wow, you know, how strong is the U.S. team going to be? Suddenly it's not a foregone conclusion that the United States is going to win gold. Yeah. I think that's part of that Barcelona game.
Anything else, Dad?
No, I've said all I need to say. All
right,
I mean, I could make something up, but why bother?
I would have to go Olympics also. Ryder Cup's going to be the most talked about. It always is. But in the grand scheme of things, no one's going to remember Jordan Spieth's Ryder Cup record. It's great fodder for us to talk about for 2 years because it's once every 2 years.
Right, but they're going to remember the U.S. Ryder Cup record.
I agree, but I'm saying for these guys, there is not another event in golf as big as the Ryder Cup.
And with apologies, I'm with you. I love the Open. I love going over there. Everything about it. The Masters is obviously something very special. But there is not another event that, I mean, the Ryder Cup can compare to some of the biggest sporting events. Forget about golf, just in all of sports. I mean, to be...
How are you saying defining bigger? Who's this
just
bigger
to? Just the impact.
What impact? Do you think to these, to the guys, like, looking back on their career, do you know Jack Nicklaus's Ryder Cup record? You know we won 18 majors.
Well, that's the Tiger Woods fallback always,
right?
Yeah.
Isn't that
what's Jack Nicklaus's record? No, but we know the United States record. To go to Jay's point, we know what.
Do you know what the United States record was when Jack Nicklaus was on the U.S. Ryder Cup team?
No, I'm sure.
Exactly. He won 18 majors. That's what people care about. That is.
I'm talking about being on the ground and the impact. I mean, being at Medina.
But it's biggest to the fans, maybe, and to the media. And the guys, they want to be a part of it, obviously.
We're not talking about the individual legacies. No, we don't sit here and talk about, well, you remember when
Tom... But that's what I'm saying. Define what biggest is.
As far as the spectacle go, as far as just a big event.
The Phoenix Open would be the biggest. That is the most fans.
No, but we're talking about at a Ryder Cup where you have 24 players and you get 35,000 people on a golf course at one time. I mean, being at the K Club... with the U.S. playing against Europe, the ground shook when Darren Clark stepped to the tee because, I mean, the fans were just ready for this. 10,000 people gathered around that first tee. It was an amazing experience. Same thing at Medina. It'll be the same thing this year at Hazeltine. It's every year. It's always just a bigger event than you can wrap your mind around. Whereas you go to Augusta, there's a flow to it. You go to the U.S. Open, you go to the PGA, you go to the Open, the same thing. You don't get that at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, more raucous. Bubba cheering up, getting all the people to cheer with him on the first tee.
I'm looking forward to it.
It's a little bit of a different animal.
I mean, whatever it is you want to call it. I mean, some guys refer to it as exhibition. I don't know if I particularly agree with that. But as far as just fan support and how much this event means to the fans, to the public, I think it's huge.
I would say it's a big event, but I'm not necessarily saying it's the.
What
biggest
is the biggest event in golf, Georgie?
Could be the Olympics now, which is on NBC and Golf Channel.
Yep.
You find it right here. We've got from a purely corporate standpoint, though, it is exciting to see the Open, the Olympics, and the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
I'm going to live with that.
Right here. And throw in the PGA Championship, too. We've got four big events, so as a golf fan, it's a great...
And you talk about the point we are in the season. It's 12 weeks left right now.
Yeah.
8 of the next 12 weeks are absolutely must-play events for the top players. I mean, you're talking about two majors, Olympics, the FedEx Cup playoffs, and the Ryder Cup. So even though it's a condensed time frame, it's going to be an exciting 12 weeks.
Giddy up. Let's ride.
All right.
For Rex Haggard, Jay Coffin, Will Graves not here. We didn't call him out. We let him enjoy the rest of his day in peace.
Michigan.
I'm George Savarikas. Thanks for joining us on the Monday Scramble.